Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Ask Anything presented by Mosher Consulting. I'm your host, Angel Leon, Mosher's Director of Personnel. We're happy that you could join us for this special episode of Ask Anything because today we're celebrating International Women's Day, specifically that superpower that women possess, with our special guest, Twyla Brown. Twyla Brown is a writer, content developer, and speaker at Novi Edge. As a seasoned professional with a passion for people development, she leverages her past experiences in her creating and storytelling. Twyla has had the opportunity to serve in various levels of leadership with organizations ranging from Fortune 500 to celebrity startups. Throughout her career, helping and developing people has always been her core motivation. Outside of work, her mission is to leave a legacy of mentoring and discipling the next generation, whether it be her own children or through community organizations. In rare moments of spare time, Twyla enjoys baking, walking, and listening to one of her favorite podcasts. And I have to ask, which one is it? But before we get to that, let's welcome our guest, Twyla Brown. Twyla, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation and for joining us today on this special day, International Women's Day. I mean, it's as we were sharing before the episode, it's very important to me. I'm a feminist. I've been married for over 15 years. I grew up in a household full of women. So women mean a lot to me, and their causes and everything that they stand for really do mean a lot to me. So I am really excited to talk to you today.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, it's an exciting day to be a woman. At Novi Edge, what we do is really different, and I think it's really special because we blend personal coaching with the business consulting. We believe that you matter, your people matter, and obviously your profit matters. And so that's a unique approach that we use with small businesses when we come alongside them.
So what is this superpower that you believe that all women possess?
Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. You probably possess this superpower too, but in the frame of the workplace, I think it's really vital for women to tap into it. And it is the power to create emotions, specifically positive emotion in one another, and to empower each other through the use of positive emotion. And women can oftentimes use that extra empowerment. I know y'all are in a very male dominant industry, right? Mm-hmm. And simply the women, especially like in that STEM field, IT, technology, could probably use a little love from one another. So that's the superpower.
Yeah. And you hit the nail right over the head. I mean, we are in a very male driven in the technology field, but I do feel like at our organization, at least, we have made huge strides in making sure that we have a much more diverse population, especially at the top. Two of our five senior leaders in our organization are women. So I'd say, I mean, obviously that's a 40%, right? More or less. I'm not a math major, so sorry out there if you're listening. But 2 out of 5 is not bad. I've seen places where it's all 5 males. So, and then across then the next level down, we do have a great population of females as well that make up that core director and team manager leadership roles that we have here at Mosher. And I am very happy to see that and see their contributions and how they put forth their best skills, et cetera. And not just that, but we've had a couple of instances where they've been able to go and speak in public events. We have a partnership with Indie Women in Tech. We have a couple other partnerships with women groups here locally that they go and speak to young females about getting into the tech world and why that's important, why tech needs more women. So I'm very proud of the work that we're doing here.
No, that's super awesome because I was trying to do my homework before we got on our call. And I think you fall into like the STEM category, right?
Yeah.
And so 25% of the STEM industry is women. So I'm really impressed with y'all. That's awesome. And what a great example and inspiration then the women in your organization can be to other women to say, hey, there's a place for you.
Yeah, we make it truly an effort to get out into the community to make sure that we show that you can do this. It's not just a male dominant field. You can be a female and be in this field and do everything that any other person does just the same way and be a leader and be an advocate for other women. So we're very, very proud of the work that we do here. So that's a little bit on us. But speaking of challenges, what are some of the challenges women face when trying to balance both personal and professional aspirations? Because as you were mentioning, sometimes, especially in our field, as we were talking about, it's hard for maybe a young female who's about to get out of high school and maybe thinking about what that next step is. Well, maybe I should get into IT. Maybe not. Maybe I should go into something that's more geared towards a female. God, I hate that thought. But what are some of those challenges?
I think in general, I feel like women wear a lot of hats. Just sometimes by default, even, in families and relationships with the best of intentions, it's like we, are the professional and we're all the things that we are at work, but we end up being, the Uber driver if we have kids, and we end up being the meal planner or the housekeeper or the event planner for the family. We hold a lot of pieces together. And, I mean, my husband's great. He does a lot of things and is very helpful. I always joke and say he's a better mom than I am. But by default, in general, women end up wearing a lot of hats, being responsible for a lot of things. And it's challenging to try to wear all of those hats and still have time for yourself, but also to not end up feeling guilty, like you've let someone down on one side or the other. We always, I think, end up feeling like we have to balance it, and it's a this or that, and we have a hard time saying it's this and that. And so that's something I really challenge women to try to check at the door, is that guilt piece of feeling responsible for everyone and everything.
Yeah, and that I want to piggyback on that guilt thing, let's just call it that, because as I was sharing before our recording, my wife just went through an International Women's Day chat that they had at her work. And the person that was presenting said something to her that actually came alive the very next day for her. And what they were talking about was how women in the workplace are oftentimes viewed upon the ones that have to start a sentence with, "I'm sorry," or I apologize because I dot 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 dot. And they were talking about that women shouldn't do that, that they should be obviously more assertive, they should be just as assertive as any male, and that they should be confident in what they're doing. And when they're asking for something, if they believe in it, then have that strong belief behind it and just basically go for it. Don't be apologetic right off the bat. Just go ahead and do this. So it's interesting because the next day she received this email where she was being offered something that it was a different role within her organization, and they were talking about compensation, et cetera. So they gave her a number, which she thought was a little bit below what the original conversations were. So she turned to me because I was working from home that day, and she said, "Remember that talk we had yesterday about having to say I'm sorry and just kind of apologize in advance? Well, how would you answer this?" And so then she presented this to me. And so I said, "Well, first of all, you shouldn't apologize for what you're asking. If you feel you're worth this, let them know you're worth this and give them the whys. Tell them the why. This is why I'm worth this." And I'm proud to say that she did. And a couple of days later, actually yesterday, she got a reply, and they actually agreed to what she was submitting for. So just an example of how that guilt, if she would have had that mind frame, basically that mindset of guilt of, "Oh, you know what? They're offering me X percentage more. Maybe I should just take it because that's fine." No, it's not fine. If you're listening and you're in a similar situation, know your self-worth and always go for it.
That's so good. Yay for her. Tell her
Yeah.
congratulations. I think that is so true that we do. We feel like we have to apologize for things when we're asking for something. Or something that I've really been personally challenging myself on this year is my words for this year, and I'm a go-getter, so these are hard words for me, are stop and no. And realizing that no is a complete sentence. I don't owe you an apology or a long
Right.
explanation. I can just say no. And so, but for some reason, we're just not wired that way. So that's really been challenging to just be able to be like, no, I can't commit to that.
And I think, it comes with, and I for one can say this too, and I'm not a woman, but I think it's got to do with the way we were brought up. I mean, as I mentioned, I was brought up in a house full of women. I mean, my grandmother, my mom, my sisters. I have four older sisters. I was raised by my mom and my grandmother. So I don't know. They always showed me like you have to be respectful and understanding of others and really try to put them first. And I do that. I want to say 100% of the time, 99.9. But then to what you just said, that no, We have to learn sometimes to say that no, period. And that's what you just explained. And it's very powerful when we feel like we can say that no, and we have a good reason behind it.
Yeah, that's a
Yeah.
thing that I'm trying to instill in my children. I have a son and a daughter, and just the ability to say no to anyone about anything, if that is your honest answer, to be secure in that. And the older you get, it seems like you settle into who you are and you have your list of priorities. You have your values, personal values have been solidified. Then the more that is true, the easier no becomes, and the less guilt is associated with that no. Like, that doesn't align with my priorities. That doesn't align with my values. That doesn't align with my goals. Therefore, no, I will not be doing that. I will not be attending that. I will not be involved in that. I wish you well. Good luck with that thing that I'm not doing.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's so good. I wish I would have had that lesson like a lot earlier in life. I'm a
Well,
people person.
if it's any
It's not
indication,
how.
I'm gonna have to repeat it several times. I mean, I got a 13-year-old and a 17-year-old. It's not a one and done situation. This will be an ongoing conversation.
You're doing a good job, Dad.
So, what are practical ways you feel women listening can begin empowering each other today?
There's a few different ways that I would really encourage people to just start empowering each other. The one of the biggest things that we can do is compliment and encourage each other. I was recently doing some research for a piece that I was working on and learned that when you receive a compliment, it triggers the same rewards area of your brain as if someone had just given you like $100 bill. I was like, wow, like that's really powerful. That's like your Oprah moment, right? To have like Oprah's. The research also shows that giving a compliment creates a positive reaction in your brain as well. And so I think that's really powerful. One of the things at Novi Edge that we do is we really, work on culture and pouring into your people and engagement. And so we always say, create a compliment culture. And I'll give to you guys a link where your listeners, if they'd like to download it, we have 43 ways to create a compliment culture. So just create fun idea starters. It's easy. I think sometimes we overthink, giving compliments, but just making sure that they're positive, they're personal, they're specific. And I'll share a little story with you that I think was really impactful to me was, there's this gal that I know that is an avid runner. And so it's a lot of like her identity, right? Like what she does for fun and how she spends her time. And she had an injury and she wasn't able to run for a long time. She had to let her muscles heal. And so when she was finally cleared to run again, she went out for that first run and it was hard. Like she didn't have her stamina, she couldn't get her breathing right, she wasn't as fast, and she was so defeated and just ready to just quit. And right about the time that she was ready to stop, she heard somebody yell, "You can do it. Keep going. Just keep running. It's hard, but keep going." There's some lady sitting on a park bench just smiling at her, and those encouraging words of a stranger helped her to keep going. And so she says, like, whenever she's having a hard run, she digs deep and she hears that like stranger in her head, like cheering her on. And that's what keeps her moving forward. And so, I mean, even if it's a stranger, just being able to encourage somebody who's fighting with their kids in the grocery store or the clerk who just got chewed out by the customer in front of you to be able to say, you know what, you're doing a great job. And I'm just happy that you're here today. You just don't know what those words might mean to somebody. So whether it's a stranger or somebody at work, your words are so powerful to just compliment and encourage somebody. I think that's the easiest place for us to start, really.
I would like to encourage anybody who is interested in paying me a compliment in the future to go ahead and write that compliment on a $100 bill and give it to me, and then we'll see if that is even more effective.
Really, that's great. That's a great
I
idea.
feel
I
like
think
this is
you.
a great experiment that we can, I'm happy to report on findings in the future.
Oh, that's good. That's
May I
good.
suggest a blank check too, and you can write in your own total. Yeah, that's
And my own compliment in the memo. Yeah, that'll work too.
that's a great example, Twyla, the runner's example, because in situations like that where you feel like, oh, I'm just about to give up, I can't continue doing it, and that little glimmer of hope that that person shared, they probably forgot about it 20 minutes later. It's like, oh yeah, I yelled at that person, great, good job, you're doing great, and then they just probably walked away and didn't realize it. That person took that and ran, literally ran with it, but then now uses it as motivation beyond that moment. That's a very powerful moment.
My wife has been in a similar situation. She's just coming back from it. She had a foot injury. And years ago, we started 5Ks. We graduated to half marathons. And then she graduated to full marathons. And I graduated to the couch. But so she had a foot injury. And so she started running again. And she doesn't have her wind or that endurance or that stamina that she is used to having. But, you know, and similar to this woman you were referencing as metaphor. For a lot of people in similar metaphoric situations, this is hard. I am not having a good time. I don't want to do this, but I need to. How do I know I can do this? Well, in these situations, a lot of times, if you think back, you know you can do it because you've already done it before. You're starting from a place, 3 steps back can still sometimes be progress to really tweak the maudlin, like, you know, an arrow has to be drawn back before it is launched forward. I'm dropping all kinds of fortune cookie
Yeah, no, you should go
this,
write for a fortune cookie company right now.
but you know, how do I know I can do this? Well, if you think about it, you know you can do it because you've probably already done it before or something similar. And I mean, or if you're having a hard time the first time, know that, you know, most people have a hard time the first time they're doing something. There are very few pure naturals out there in the universe. You have to stink at something for a while in order to get good at it, is usually how it works.
The other thing that I would share, because we've talked a little bit about this guilt piece of it that I think is so important, and specifically for women, I can ask you guys, maybe you guys will give me some different perspective, but I think for women, it's really important for us to give each other permission. Do either of you ever feel guilty if you have to leave work early to go to like a kids program or a field trip or a doctor appointment? Do you feel guilty when you leave work?
Again, I was raised by a woman. Yes.
Oh,
No, I don't. Again, what I was talking about earlier, I know my priorities, I know my values, and my job is important to me. But if I have to do something to take care of my family, that is absolutely priority one, and I will figure out the job thing, how to also accomplish it,
Later. Yeah.
once priority one has been taken care of. I
Yeah.
feel no guilt. I feel no hesitation. I am out and I am taking care of whatever needs to be taken care of as expeditiously, responsibly as possible so that I can go
Yeah.
back and then take care of my work obligations. But I'm out of here. If somebody needs me, you know, I'll come back and stop this recording when I get back from it and you guys can continue your conversation.
And this has happened. This has
Just how
happened,
that would
actually.
go. Like, hey,
This has happened where he's had to go and we continue recording and then No, I joke about being raised by women, et cetera, but like Brian, of course, I would put my family first above anything else. It's funny because I think I tell my so the employees that I'm responsible for, those that report to me, that's the first thing I tell them. It's like if you have any emergency, anything, you take care of that first and I will take care of your work for you. I don't need you to worry about this when you're worried about something else. So that to me, and I mean, the majority of the people who report to me are female. So to your point, a lot of,
You're doing a
they're the first ones that come to me and say, I'm so sorry. You don't have anything to be sorry about. You have to go take care of your son. Go take care of his son. That I would do the same thing. I have a 2-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 20-year-old. I feel like I have three toddlers. So, yeah.
I was just in a room full of women this week having this conversation, and you know, they all raise their hand. Yes, like I feel guilty when I have to go on a field trip, take a kid to the doctor, somebody got sick and I have to pick them up from school, whatever the thing is. And it's like, and yet we're all doing it, you know? So why don't we just look to the person next to us and give them permission and say, like, hey, have fun on that field trip? Or like, I hope your kiddo feels better, or whatever the thing is. Because at the end of the day, like, real life is what matters most, you know, your priorities. And but for some reason, as women, especially, I think we tend to feel guilty. Like we're coming up short, or like we've let somebody down. And it's like, no. Like, let's give each other permission to also be a mom or a wife or a daughter or the other responsibilities and things that take, you know, precedence in our life. So I think that's another really powerful thing. That's not so much using emotion as it's removing a negative emotion for each other, really.
I think it comes down to the nature of our work as well. I mean, there's nothing that I could be doing right now that I can't pick up in 20 minutes or 2 hours or tomorrow morning. Like, I'm not in the middle of heart surgery. I'm not defusing a bomb. You know, there's nothing that I can be like, well, it'll be here. And like, you know, in a live recording situation, like, you know, I can also try to get it done, you know, as efficiently and as soon as possible. Or I can say, hey, have fun continuing this conversation. Don't worry about when you're done, just be done. And I'll hit stop when I'm able to get back. And that makes the edit really easy at the end because I might have 30 minutes or 3 hours of just blank that I can cut as soon as I get back. So it's, you know, it's also a function of what type of work are you doing?
So Twyla, before we go, any advice for any young female listener out there?
Oh man, I would say the sooner you can learn no as a complete sentence, the better off you are. But I would say, surround yourself with great mentors. Usually they always say, you're most like the people, the five people you spend the most time with. So find strong women who you admire and, ask them to be your mentor. And then as you grow in your career, make sure that you're also allowing access for the next woman in line. I heard something recently that like if we're all on a ladder climbing, why can't we widen the ladder? This it's not just room for one at a time. Like allow access for others, encourage others, and just find great people to surround yourself with that are going to encourage you and help you move, up as well so that you've got that person to kind of pour into you.
Yeah, great piece of advice, Twyla Brown. Thank you so much for joining us on Ask Anything. We really appreciate your time. And again, we can't say thank you enough. So thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening in to this week's edition of Ask Anything presented by Moshe Consulting. We hope you enjoyed listening to Twyla Brown in our special episode on International Women's Day, the special power that all women possess. Join us next time when we continue to dive deeper with our resident experts and what they're currently working on. Remember to send us your ideas or topics via our social media feeds. In the meantime, please remember to give us a rating and subscribe to our feed wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, so long, everybody.
Oh.